Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring and that's my fine wife, Beth.
On this July 29th, and we have a Do Not Fear scripture from 2 Chronicles 32:7. 32:7 says, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of the king of Assyria and the vast army with him. For there is a greater power with us than with him."
Hallelujah.
Amen.
On today's call, we're going to be discussing 8 things you ought to know about you. You know, we found over the years that if there's something we don't understand or haven't been able to manifest in our own lives, it's often easier to condemn it rather than to discover what's hindering the manifestation. Hopefully with time, intelligence, and insight, we all overcome that immature way of thinking. The reality is that way too many God-fearing, heaven-bound believers create an immediate and a progressive hindrance to their prosperity because of a belief that only some people can be wealthy. As we were praying, the Lord allowed us to understand a little more fully why some people have a selective view of what God will and will not do for them. It may come from a family with siblings. Did you ever feel that your mom, dad, or both favored one brother or sister over you? As a child, did you ever play sports or games where teams were chosen? Two captains took turns picking members for their teams. Were you the first person chosen or perhaps the last? In school, were you the teacher's pet or was it somebody else? On your job, does someone else get the credit for the work you do? Do others get all the promotions? From an early age, many people have a history of being overlooked, neglected, or ignored. It seems that there was someone else who was always selected, honored, rewarded, and appreciated. Over the years, a certain type of mentality begins to be programmed into a person's mental hard drive, one that causes them to think they will never experience the best. It may not even be true, but the perception is enough to begin developing the mistaken idea of not being accepted. I remember years ago, honey, one of our daughters who had a friend who didn't like going to awards night at the end of the school year. Since she was close with our family, I remember that you called her and urged her to attend. She said she didn't want to because she was never recognized. Anyway, she was still a top-notch student. We always made it a point to have our children attend so they could learn to support and be happy for others, even if they didn't get recognized themselves. That particular school year, this girl's name was called out 4 or 5 times for different accolades, but she was not there to hear it. She went on to receive a full presidential scholarship to college, but somehow she felt that all the awards went to others. Sadly, this can even carry over to her walk as a Christian as well. It needs to be recognized and dealt with. Acts 10:34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons." The New International Version of that scripture says, "Then Peter began to speak. I realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism." In the Message Bible translation of Acts 10:34, we find to be even clearer. Peter fairly exploded with his good news. It's God's own truth. Nothing could be plainer. God plays no favorites. It makes no difference who you are or where you're from. If they want God and are ready to do as he says, the door is open. We read the Acts 10:34 and 13 different translations, and it did not seem to have any asterisk or footnote indicating that this scripture did not apply to everybody on planet Earth. Once again, these people can quote the scripture but still doubt it, because they accepted a misconception based on what was being programmed into their mental hard drive. I was blessed as a child from my earliest recollection. Always remember my parents telling me I could do anything. And your mom believed in you. You know.
This positive reinforcement, anyway, continued in the face of less than stellar grades from my poor husband, but he was a sweetheart. He was a thank the Lord. The message, anyway, all of his life was that he could do what he set his mind to do. And in that regard, you know, we've continued to be blessed. He has the distinction of being the youngest and the oldest in his family. So he's an only child. So obviously he was the favorite child. But the point of it is this, regardless of your background, I happen to have two siblings, but regardless of our background, the Word of God becomes the great equalizer no matter how we view ourselves. And that's why it's crucially important to begin to see ourselves the way God sees us, not what anybody planted in us over the years. So let's take a minute and look at eight things the Word of God says about you. First, you are a child of the Most High God. It doesn't matter if you feel like you were illegitimate or not accepted into your family. If you were not going to be born and on planet Earth, God would have made sure you weren't going to be born. But since you are and you're hearing our voice, you can know this. He knew all about it and he wanted you here. Genesis 1:26, the Living Bible says, "Then God said, let us make a man, someone like ourselves, to be the master of all life upon the earth and in the skies and in the seas." He didn't limit it. Notice that. Second, you are the head and not the tail. He made you the head and not the tail. Deuteronomy 28:13 in the New Living Translation says, "If you listen to these commands of the Lord your God that I'm giving you today, and if you carefully obey them, the Lord will make you the head and not the tail, and you will always be on top and never at the bottom." Third, you are above and not beneath. Deuteronomy 28:13 goes on to say, "And thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath, if that thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do them." Notice how the Lord is telling us exactly what to do.
Yes.
Fourth, you are a joint heir with Christ. Hallelujah. Romans 8:17 says, "And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ."
Fifth, you're blessed in the city and blessed in the field. Deuteronomy 28:3. "Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field." Six, you're more than a conqueror. You're more than a conqueror. Romans 8:37. "Nay, in all these things, we're more than conquerors through him that loved us." Seventh, you're guaranteed a harvest for whatever seed you sow. Galatians 6:7, Classic Amplified. "Do not be deceived, deluded, and misled. God will not allow himself to be sneered at, scorned, disdained, or mocked by mere pretensions or professions, or by his precepts being set aside. He inevitably deludes himself, who attempts to delude God. For whatever man sows, that and that only shall he reap." Eighth, you have the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians 2:16. "But we have the mind of Christ the Messiah, and do hold the thoughts, feelings, and purposes of his heart." That's a great scripture to personalize. But Maya has the mind of Christ the Messiah, and does hold the thoughts and feelings and purposes of his heart. But Carol has the mind of Christ the Messiah, and does hold the thoughts, feelings, and purposes of his heart.
You know, these eight scriptures make it clear that you are no different than any other believer who is drawing a breath on planet Earth at this time. And there's no reason to question God's promises to you, because he is not even capable of telling a lie. How about that? In Numbers 23:19, we read, "God is not a man that he should tell or act a lie. neither the Son of Man that he should feel repentance or compunction for what he has promised. Has he said, and shall he not do it? Or has he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Hallelujah. God doesn't lie, and he doesn't play favorites. He doesn't selectively apply his principles, promises, precepts, and rewards to one person and not another. Anyone who works the word, anyone who presses the word, anyone who gets the word down inside of him will eventually see fruit. It is the devil that wants you to doubt and just run around and be miserable. But God wants to bless you, and that's why he's told us exactly what he feels and exactly what he'll do. Our view of God's view, let me put it this way, your view of God's view of you will either open the floodgates of heaven or they're going to keep them closed. You may have never had an earthly parent who believed in you, but you have a heavenly Father who runs the whole universe, and he certainly does. In Romans 12:6 Living Bible says, God has given each of us the ability to do certain things well. If you don't know what you can do well, ask God. He's going to show you. What lives in your heart? What just wants to come out of you? That is what he's placed inside of you. And you need to cultivate that and show him what you can do for the kingdom.
Hallelujah. Think on these things. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Good word, good scriptures. We want you to have a spectacular Saturday.
Yes.
We want you to think on these things. We want you to realize how God wants to work in and through your lives. It's just that important. It's that key. And it's also that easy when you do the word.
That's right. Work the word.
Work the word. Until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts from the word of God.
We love you. We appreciate you. Bye-bye.